This is a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network, WDPN, bringing you the very best in internet talk radio.
Hey, friend.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Good. Handshake. How are you? For what?
Sorry for last week.
For last week?
Yeah, man. How are you?
You're on.
Oh, am I on?
You're on.
Oh, beautiful.
That's how we do things.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I surprise everyone. It's fantastic. I think I do it more for the look on people's faces. The holy shit, we started.
Well, I mean, I saw the microphone here, so I mean, I can't, you know, play the fool.
Right, right. So what the heck took you so long?
Yeah,
I texted you at 11:50.
I had to stop. I did a couple.
Okay, Starbucks
on the way. Yeah, little things here.
It's stop exciting.
At the bank and beautiful things like that. So, yeah, man.
Can I just tell you?
Please.
You always look good. I'm serious, man. Every time I see you, you're like very fat. I don't know if it's your body type looks good with any sort of clothes,
right?
Or if it's just you just look good, man.
Thank
always,
thank you. You make me blush. It's very sweet.
It's very tough to make a black man blush.
It's not the most easy thing to do. You're absolutely right. But you know what? You have to pride yourself on it, right? You gotta.
I do, and especially you.
Thank you. Yeah,
I'm serious because I feel like you're a very intellectual person.
Thank you.
And making you laugh or smile, it makes it mean more when right. You know the person is smarter.
Right, right.
You can make a dumb person laugh all day.
Right, right.
I could probably slap myself in the face and go, hoo, 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 and make someone laugh. You know what I mean? But with you, I kind of got to be smarter about it.
Yeah, I laugh a lot, but it's usually at people. It's
right,
usually not.
Right.
So it's kind of like, you know, when I get to smile, it's great.
And I think that goes along with what your whole gimmick is, right?
Right.
The crusade
right.
for a change. It's everything's got to be different. You see things you don't like and right. you want to make them. We've had long talks.
Yeah.
And it's weird because we've only met once.
Yeah, it was that the fair show.
Right. So we've only face to face we've only met once. But we've talked on Facebook and well now texting now that I have your phone number.
Right.
Can you guess who gave me your phone number?
Could be
two people.
Because
I asked two people and they both responded fairly quickly.
Maybe Leon St. Giovanni?
No.
No. John Harder?
No.
You know John Harder?
I know him, but I don't
okay. It's
know
gotta
him.
Be well. Maybe Eric Corvus?
It was Eric
right,
Corvus.
Right, right.
And the other one?
It was Mike Quest.
No, someone from your personal life.
Who? Oh, okay. Oh, God.
Matt Bruno.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Oh, Matt Bruno. Yeah. What a guy.
He's going to be excited if he listens that he heard his name on
this. He'll listen to it.
Because I called him and said, hey, do you know I do a podcast? He's like, no, am I on it right now?
Right.
I said, no.
Right, right.
You're not on it.
Right. You're not important enough to be on it, Matt. Who are you? No. Yeah, I'll tell him. He'll definitely check it out.
Excellent. So now I'm going to set this up because I don't think you've ever heard anything that I've done before.
I have not, unfortunately.
I have wrestlers as guests.
Right.
But I try to keep it less wrestling, more mentality, psychology, philosophy, just basic, everyday, deep conversation stuff.
It's fine with me.
Yeah, so right off the bat, I'm going to try to hit you hard. Your whole crusade for a change, is it something deeper than just wrestling? Is it more life crusade for change?
It's deeper than wrestling. I think that there's a lot to understand to it, but if you really have been listening to the promos, I mean, me, myself, and TJ Marconi, we put out a lot of promo material. We put out a lot of talking material for people to really have a chance to review it. It's definitely deeper than just wrestling. It's something that's everywhere. You know, I think people confuse moving pieces with actual change. You know what I mean? And I think that unfortunately people want something. They want this change, but they don't know how to go about it and they don't know what it is when they see it. And that's really what the Crusade for Change is about. It's about opportunity when you feel like you've deserved something, and that's anywhere, you know, that's wrestling or not. If you feel like you've dedicated so much of your time and you've committed to your craft, no matter what it is, and you feel like you haven't been given that opportunity, been given that platform, what do you do? There's so many people that just kind of back off and they quit and they just kind of fade off into the night.
Or just are happy with what the role they are in.
Which is another thing that's becoming huge right now. So much complacency. And how much do you hear about that is complacency in wrestling. And that's why I say moving pieces. You know, if two people do the same thing, but one guy is going this way and then you replace him with another guy, you know what I mean? There's a lot of that going on. The wrestling style, the style of wrestling has changed and it's become a little stagnant, I feel. And I feel like I have something that's different to offer. I feel like the people that are in my crusade for change have something different to offer. That's what it's about. Where do you get that platform? Where do you get that real opportunity to be seen when all these promotions and all these places are kind of running moving pieces of the same thing? That's what it's about.
It makes sense. And yeah. I agree with you because I said the same thing to Steve Mack when he was on.
Yeah.
Is that he started something new with his whole group, like him, Homicide, Low Key. You know, they all started that strong style in the Northeast.
Right.
That's, you know, right. They brought the Japanese style to around here.
JPW.
Exactly. Yes, and absolutely. They were different.
Yeah.
And then everyone copies their style. And I kind of equated it to social life. Like PacSun, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go into the mall, mm-hmm. PacSun was never the store that people went into. It was kind of like whatever. And then a couple people started getting famous off like the Tony Hawks and then everyone's doing it, right? And I feel like that's kind of how wrestling is right now, where everyone saw what one or two people were getting famous for, and then they all started doing it, because now I feel like we're going to get an overabundance of fat guys in beards that wear t-shirts.
Oh, absolutely. But, and then again, look at what's going on now. All I see is revolutions. People are airing change, even the big company, right?
Yeah.
I won't even, you know, we know what the big company is, all right? The big company, Crusade, change. Now, eyes are everywhere, okay? Eyes are everywhere. And considering Beyond Wrestling has done so many shows with Ring of Honor people, and that goes to the KRD, you know, the Knights of the Red Dawn or whatever that was, you know, I see so many uprisings now. And it's kind of like, well, and I'm not saying they all got it from me. I'm not saying I'm the standard bearer of uprisings, but what I'm saying is there's so much of that going on, but what are they really about, right? What are those revolutions, those uprisings really about versus the Crusade for Change where we've put out promo after promo after promo to let people in to what it is? It's a different thought process because who's really cutting promos anymore, right? People aren't really doing that.
Well, promos that are different. I mean, everyone's still doing the same, like, next week, I'm going to get you.
Right.
Those promos are still live and well.
Well, they have to be. I mean, let's be honest here. But, I mean, the problem with wrestling now is you put a camera in front of somebody and they can't speak, right?
Or they just do generic, like...
The liners. The
everyone's going to be behind me when I come see you next week in South Amboy.
Right.
Like those guys. But no one's speaking true life things behind wrestling.
Right. That's what it's about. And like I said, whether it gets me quote unquote over or not, whatever. You know what I mean? Because I know who's watching my stuff.
Right.
I know who's viewing it. You have your people that are checking you out, your cult following, if you will. But why does it have to be a cult following, right? Every wrestling is about variety. It's about having different things for different people. And I don't really know who's offering or attempting to offer what I'm offering or what my crusade is offering. I don't really see that. At the same token, it's kind of like, again, it goes back to opportunity. Does a promotion really want to promote something that they feel is against their mentality? Right?
Okay.
That's the problem. Like, that's what I think I'm in. I think that people are going to say, I don't agree with this crusade for change. Why would I use this guy? And then it'll be like, let me use someone else with more name notoriety, try to throw this with them and see how it works.
Well, I think it takes a lot for a promoter to take a chance.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I think it's really hard in the wrestling business to go a certain way away from everyone else.
Yeah.
Because if you look at wrestling for the whole, it's been one guy does something different, everyone jumps on it.
Right.
Like, look at Pazuzu right now.
Right.
They are doing something different. They're a group. You know, they're all together. They're saying, we're not going to work unless we're all here.
Right.
And then they all come together. You get the whole Pazuzu Nation.
Right.
Like, that's what you get when you book them.
Right.
Right. So it takes a promoter to do something different, like not use Pazuzu. Because a lot of people are going all over the place just to see them. Right. Like if Pinky's on a show, if Dickinson's on a show, if EYFBO is on a show,
right.
Most people are like, oh, I want to go to that show because they're there.
Right.
If a promoter is not using them, it's dangerous now because people want to see them.
Right.
So I feel like it's in wrestling has always been follow the leader.
Absolutely.
And I think it's tough to get away from that. Like, and so for you, doing something different, it might be tough to catch on until, like, Beyond. Well, I kind of feel like Beyond's really putting something behind you.
Yeah.
So hopefully.
Now I feel.
Right.
Now
right,
I feel.
Right,
it's
right.
been a long time, and it's not about bad mouthing. It's not about this and that. It's just about, I'm a factual person.
Right.
Right. When there's something that I've done to, against my credit, I'm the first one to admit it. But when I've done something and I've committed to it, I'm also the first one to say, hey, what's going on? I absolutely feel like it's catching on. I think people are starting to.
Do you think the fans are catching on, or do you think Drew is catching on and knows how good you could be or and sees the potential? Like, do you think it's the fans driving him to book you more, or do you think it's you doing what you're doing and Drew notices it, so he's like, okay, let's go with this?
I think his reading on the fans is very interesting because he has a good idea of what the fans want. I mean, listen, I'm not going to doubt the guy. In terms of match cards, he puts together some of the most interesting and intriguing match cards I've ever seen. He's put people together before other promotions do it. I see a lot of promotions take some of these match cards from Beyond and then try and throw it on their own. I've seen it. I see the storyline development. I understand that. It's fine. But you're right. It comes down to follow the leader. I've never been one of those followers. And that's why I've been in my position. I've never once said, you know what? Everyone's doing this. Let's jump on that. I'm not that guy. I'm the person that says, I'm going to stand by my conviction. And I don't care if it takes 2 years, 3 years, whatever. I'm going to stand by it, and that's why I think people are catching on, because they see I've been consistent and committed to this for years, and now we're getting those matches. We just now are really getting matches on FET. We didn't have matches at FET Music. You know, maybe we had one here with Tabernacle Team, one here with who have you, but we weren't consistently given that stage until recently. You know, we just had the Garden State Gods, and then we had that match at the Battle of New England with Ricky Shane Page, Davey Vega, and Eric Corvis. Those things, I think that's starting to slowly kind of register in his mind. I also think he's looking at his roster and says, you know, you need certain people for certain positions. Who's going to fill that position and who can I rely on? And I think despite our disagreements, me and Drew's over the years, I think he understands my reliability when you need me in that position. That's what I think it comes down to. I think it's, yeah, you're hearing the fans and they, you know, they're catching on or what have you. But I think it's been more about him. Because if you ask me, I think the fans have understood the Crusade for quite some time, but it's kind of like, how do you get invested in something when it's not being thrust in the forefront?
Right.
That's what it's about. And then it's kind of like, you know how the business is. There's so many people that are connecting, but when they're not given the chance, it's like, well, why would you waste the investment?
And plus, it's like people that are clicking are put in a position where it makes them look bad, and then now there's no going back with it because the fans are kind of giving up on it. Oh, they're not doing this, they're not doing that. So sometimes you just lose that spark, and then you yourself are like, all right, well, why the fuck am I doing this?
And right, it's the rub. It's the typical rub, and that's right. Another thing that's going on is when you have certain people that are connecting in a certain way, but maybe they're not the person that you want. Maybe you don't want that particular person connecting at that particular time because that's not going with your story.
Right.
That's what I think a lot of it is, to be honest with you. I don't think that the Crusade was something that he was particularly looking to be in the prime spot. So when it did, kind of like with Matt Tremont, right?
Okay.
When I had that one-on-one match with Matt Tremont, the fans wanted that, all right? Because they want to see me get eviscerated. Of course they do. Of course they do. But that's right. What I live for. I live for that, right?
Right?
And Matt Tremont's the other side with the comes out with Separate Ways. I mean, immensely popular, probably the biggest pure quote-unquote good guy, right? That's on the independent scene today. Just a very easy to support guy. The fans did that. Drew responded to the fans directly there. You know, he'll tell you himself, he didn't want to actually book the match. But because the fans were so into what we were doing, they voted it. That's how we got that match at the King of Arts.
That's awesome.
So.
I'm not very familiar with Beyond.
Okay.
And I'm going to be completely honest with you. When it first started, it's tough for me to say that I was a fan of it.
Understandable.
Only because I'm not opposed to rebelliousness, right? I'm not opposed to going your own separate way and doing your own thing And, but I think that the wrestling business has been built over the years on, you know, respect and doing things a certain way. Mm-hmm. And Beyond doesn't do that.
Right.
Beyond is kind of like, all right, listen, and I'm trying to use the right words. When I first saw Beyond, in my head, it said, all right, here's a bunch of guys that can't get booked anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of like, fuck you all. We're going to do our own thing.
Right.
Like,
That's awesome. I
hate to steal a line from Biodome, but like, all right, a dome within a dome. Right. We're going to start our own dome. Right, you know, right, like, that's right. Kind of the idea behind it. And listen, I get it because I've always been in that position where I feel like I'm on the outside looking in when it's time to, hey, who gets this big spot? But in JAP, they gave me chances.
Right.
You know, I was put in the ring with guys like Loki.
Right.
I was put in the ring with guys like B-Boy and Moff and Steen and Generico. Like, I've been in the ring with all those guys. So I always felt like the way to do things was to follow a certain path, pay your dues, do what you got to do to get ahead.
Right.
And I felt like Beyond is kind of a shortcut.
Okay.
Or was when it first started. Now, listen,
that's fantastic. I love viewpoints. I love
it. Right. I love what they're doing. And I love the idea behind it. And that it's not as much of a fuck you to the wrestling business as much as it is, this is what people want, so we're giving it to them.
Right.
But at first, it didn't start like that.
Right.
It wasn't a, hey, this is what people want. It was, hey, let's just do our own thing.
Right.
And let's pull away from, like, the guide of, this is how you become a professional wrestler.
Right.
And let's do our own thing.
Right.
But I love what they're doing now. And I think that when you look at their shows and you watch the way the fans react and you see how into it, and even workers, like how into it they get.
Yeah.
And that's the enthusiasm you want at a wrestling show.
Right.
Because now, and it always has been, people watch WWE to figure out how to be a wrestling fan.
Right.
You watch them. They boo someone. Mm-hmm. I boo someone.
Mm-hmm.
They cheer for someone. I cheer for someone. I wait for Vince McMahon to tell me how I'm supposed to feel about wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's how I feel about wrestling.
Right, right.
Which is great because now when you take a deeper look at a place like Beyond, it's so much bigger than just, we aren't getting booked anywhere else, so let's just go and do our own thing. It's, we see something in wrestling that we can do, and this is how we feel we can do it. Let's push it to the limit.
Right.
And I love that. And I feel like your mentality and your crusade for a change is kind of how Beyond is to the rest of the wrestling world.
Right.
Because they're different.
Right.
And they're saying, this is what we believe in. Fuck everything else. This is what I want to do.
Right.
And I like that.
Well, people completely fear what they don't understand. And that's,
right.
It's a cliche, but the reason they call them cliches is because it's so true.
Right.
And because we beat them into your head and you're dismiss it as a cliche, so you don't really listen to it. But if you really listen to cliches, you can live your whole life based off cliches. So
you're the second person on this podcast to say cliches are cliches because they're true.
Exactly. But if people are like, the truth. You know, you don't rebel against the truth.
Ah, boo.
Yeah, boo the truth. opinions are fantastic.
Well, I mean, it's ego, right?
Yeah.
You feel like you're convicted in what you believe and something different pops up and you're like, that's not the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
And I was a victim to that. I felt the same way because I did things the way I thought I was supposed to do them. And I succeeded.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the way you're supposed to do things.
Right.
And when something pops up and it's not that way, you're like, fuck that.
Right.
It's stupid. And you try to reject it.
Right.
And I don't feel like there's any rejecting Beyond right now because I think it's huge. I think it's amazing. I think that there's so much positivity about it. And I honestly I love it.
And the thing about Beyond though is that it has limitless potential. You know, is it aspiring to reach that same potential that it once did? Because when I first went to Beyond, I was wrestling, my main thing was BWO. I started over there.
BWO.
Yeah, with Richie Rotten.
Right.
So it was very kind of streamlined and almost linear in terms of how you follow it. You know, like you were saying, this is the business, this is how you do it. And listen, I owe a lot of gratitude to them because they showed me a lot of different things. Richie Rotten showed me a lot of different things. Magic, helped really show me the psychology of wrestling. You know what I mean? Beyond Wrestling was an opportunity. This is how I looked at it in contrast to how you were explaining it. How I looked at it was, here's a promotion that's going to let you throw everything against the wall and see what sticks. When there was so much restriction, I mean, this was June 2010 when I got into Beyond. All right. I started in April of 2009. So I was doing those shows in EGW in Pennsylvania. I was wrestling a lot in PA and
right.
the Lansford and the Tamaquas, those kind of people don't really know where they are places in PA and Pennsylvania. but, you know, Beyond really gave me that chance to just go out and wrestle, right? They didn't say, hey man, here's your time limit and here's, what I want you to do. It was kind of like, go out there. I trust in you enough to do your own thing. It was really like a trial by fire. There's a lot of Beyond originals that didn't make it to today. All right. Most of the, if you look at the roster then, you look at them now, and maybe that's because they couldn't get bookings elsewhere, but maybe it's also because they couldn't grow with the promotion, right? I've been there for almost 5 years, over 5 years. I've been a part of Beyond Wrestling, right? And I've been there with the guys that are really still there now, the Chris Dickinsons and the Jockas. They've been there at that time as well. They're kind of taking off. It's finally now just hitting them, the success that they've been looking for whatever reasons. So it's kind of like, here I am, I've committed all this time, and I've put my best foot forward in my matches. I'm a firm believer that every time I step in that ring, my mindset is quality, quality, quality. All right? Not by anyone's standard, but my own standard. All right? So quality, quality, quality. Match results are great, right? You go in there, you see me wrestle. I feel like I put on a great to fantastic show. I don't mean to be egotistical about it, but that's really all I have to go on right now.
Right.
Right? I can't say I'm wrestling for, JAPW. I can't say I'm wrestling for, CZW. I can't say I'm wrestling for New Japan, anything like that. I'm wrestling in the places that I'm wrestling in, looking to get my notoriety. I'm hoping people can see through my quality, because I think there's been so much whispering going around. There's a whole lot of who's this and who's that and what does he stand for. You know what I mean? A lot of opinions about me, and I don't
about
really
you?
Know. Yeah, and about me, or maybe what I stand for. I really don't know, because I don't really, I'm not really in that,
inner circle.
Right. And I don't want to be in that inner circle, right? I just
want to. Well, your whole gimmick is you don't
want
to be in the inner circle.
I don't want to be, right? So the whole gossip, my whole thing is, if I continuously put out great work, that's more opportunities will spring up. They just have to.
Right.
That's my firm belief. It's kind of like, it's funny because I'm a big white collar guy, but it's kind of like it's almost like a blue collar start, because it's just work. And that's the irony of it. Working hard, working hard, working hard, deliver, deliver, deliver. When does the chance come?
Right.
And you never really know.
The problem I see with it is, which is weird to me, because I'm going to bring up something and they were on Rage Against the Machine.
Okay.
All right. Every one of their songs is fuck the man, fuck the man, fuck the man, blah, 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 blah. They're signed to Sony Music. To me, that's a little bit of a crazy thing. So for you, this gimmick that you're doing, and I wouldn't say you're bad-mouthing what's the mainstream, but you're kind of like, this is what we should be doing. It kind of takes you now away from the opportunity to go to where, because you're saying fuck that.
Right.
You know what I mean? So your gimmick is awesome, obviously. Not even your gimmick, your mindset, because it's not
Thank
a gimmick,
you.
It's who you are.
Thank you.
Right. Your mindset is what takes you away from getting that notoriety, because the notoriety you seek is also the notoriety you're bashing.
Yeah, correct. But here's the thing, you're absolutely right. It's okay. Totally a catch-22. I cannot disagree with you with that. Facts are facts.
Right.
Okay? I'm pulling myself away from, in essence, the things you should want to be a part of, right? But I also don't want to compromise myself, because everyone is compromising these days. So many people are getting hot, getting hot, getting hot, and then they just kind of flatline.
Right, level off.
Right, why do you level off? Is it because of you and opportunity, or is it because you just kind of become, in a way, complacent?
No, but I think that's on the person.
Right.
That's not on, I mean, once you get to a certain point, like me personally, I think I leveled off when the grind got to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd say when I was hot, probably like 05, 06, 07, JAP, doing everything, going everywhere, you know, working the bigger names. Like, I was in four-way matches that I had no business being in. Like, it was me, Matt Cross, Human Tornado, and Matt Sydal. Like, that's
right,
a match
right.
For me. Like, who the fuck is that fourth guy? Why is he in that match? And the only reason why I'm in the match is because it's a JAP show.
Right.
You know what I mean? So while I was like, holy shit, there were insecurities. Once you get to a level, I mean, like you're saying, I want to be given that chance. For me, I was like, holy shit, why am I given this chance?
Right.
I think my mindset was
interesting.
Right.
It's really,
it's, it's not, I mean, insecure, yes, but it's more of a, not second guessing my ability, but maybe
your path to this.
I always felt, I mean, listen, and this is very revealing. I always felt like a phony. I did, because I always felt like, who the fuck am I to be in this ring with these guys? And maybe it's, I know, maybe it's a shitty mentality to have.
It's honest. It's a genuine mentality.
Right. But I was scared because, and maybe it goes back to even farther, like when I was a kid and my brother didn't want to hang out with me. Like maybe like that fear of acceptance, you know, not getting accepted, you get to a level where now you're getting accepted and you're like, why am I being accepted?
Yeah.
Like what's going on here? Like,
right.
I mean,
you work so busy to achieve the goal that once you achieve it, you don't know what
you're
what
like.
To
why
do.
Am I here? What's
right,
going on?
Right. That's understandable.
You're so used to being the underdog that once you're not the underdog anymore, you're just out of, like, I felt like I was in the wrong set of clothes. Like, mm-hmm. This isn't me. Like, I want to be the guy that, cause even for you, I feel like if you reach a certain point of success, you're going to be like, well, what the fuck do I do now? Cause you're fighting. What do you do when the fight is over and you've won?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like that, The Graduate, like Mrs. Robinson.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The chase is always awesome. But right. Once you achieve it, what the fuck do you do now?
Right.
So what do you do now?
Well, my whole thing is, I would love to be at that level, right? Just once. To be at that, the one man looking down on everyone, right? Now.
But then the crusade's over.
Right.
What do you do?
At that point, the crusade is over.
You're
and
standing
now,
in front of a ship with mission accomplished.
No, no, no. But watch this. But here's the thing. First off, yes. Okay. Because the mission, you have to, if you achieve the goal, sell that you achieve the goal.
Okay.
Which is another thing that doesn't happen. Just like when you see a guy lose a championship and they don't talk about it. Someone will lose a title. Their next promo is about the person more than the title.
Right.
So were you more mad that that person beat you? Or are you mad that you don't have the title anymore? Me, I would be livid that my championship is gone. I could care less about the person who took it. It's about the fact that you took something that belongs to me. That makes me care more about you. Do you understand? You get what
right,
I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's my mentality. So yeah, I would celebrate to the rooftops that the crusade succeeded, because in a way I've succeeded over a part of the business that I feel is
You go flair on it?
Yeah, absolutely. But that's what, yeah, but look at, that's what, woo, look at, that's what, I had to do it.
Yeah, well, I was going to do
it. He was my inspiration, man.
Well, you can see it.
Ric Flair, yeah. Thank you.
You can see it when you watch a Darius Carter match. You can see the influence. You can see the flair in there.
Thank you.
I love it.
Thank you.
I'm serious, man. I love watching you work, just like the faces you make and the gestures. I'm telling you, man, you got it.
It's commitment. Well, thank you. Thank you. Oh,
dropping mics.
There it is. pipe bomb. Where are we going? Where are we going? Ric Flair. Oh,
well, we went to when you accomplished the crusade
is
over.
So now, right? So the crusade is over, but I'm a firm believer that you have to evolve. Okay. You can be that same person that you are. You don't have to change who you are every couple years to stay quote unquote fresh.
Right.
Just adapt on that mentality. That's not done much either. So many people flip and flop and flip and flop without fully, you know, looking into the depth of your own character.
Right.
People are just like, you know what? I don't really feel like I'm going anywhere. Let's flip. What do you mean let's flip?
I don't want to interrupt you because I know you're on a flow right now, but it made me think of something that drives me crazy. In WWE or wherever, like, I mean, cause listen, little, you know, shows at county fairs, when you turn face, turn heel, whatever. Like,
right.
Nobody's following the storyline.
Right.
But like WWE, I despise when someone's a heel and you're yelling at the fans and then you flip the switch, now you're face, and you're slapping people's hands on the waiter. Like, what?
That happens.
What?
I can't stand it either, man.
Like, just in my head, I'm like, wait, what just happened to that guy's life that now he's okay with touching
right.
people's fans?
And why are the fans wanting to touch him?
Yeah.
Why would you want to engage? There are people that do atrocities, and then for the convenience of a storyline or what have you, now all of a sudden for this one match you have to slap hands. Well, people have built, it's cheating the people,
right?
Because you've built all this investment in someone in a particular way. That's like if I came out and all of a sudden, you know, I come out at a Beyond show or something like that, and I save Biff Busick from a beatdown. Makes no sense. And then it's kind of like the show after that, I'm against music. It's like, it's all about conveniency, which is unfortunate. The individual gets lost. The way I look at it is, if you have a wrestling roster full of people, I should be able to name anyone on the roster, low, mid, high, and they should be involved in something. Even if it's a low card, low tier main event superstars feud, right? You're still on television. What's the point in having someone on your roster if they don't serve some type of purpose? And a purpose more than just laying down and getting pinned. Talking about what's your motivation as a character? Why should we care about Adam Rose, right? That's what I mean. Everyone should have some type of investment level, or else what's the point in using
it? I hate calling a match with someone, and I ask them, well, why would you do that? Like, why would your character do that? And they're like, they get mad at me.
I'm the biggest person of that. No, and that's, I know. I'm the biggest advocate.
But they
that.
Get mad at me for asking them, well, because it looks cool. Like, yeah. I fucking hate that. Yeah. I hate the, I just have to get my shit off.
Right.
So I don't care how it makes sense. I have to do this move. Because that's what I do.
Right.
Instead of, in that moment, why would you do that?
Immediately, right. So, if you're a guy that's bigger than me, okay, and my frame, I'm not meant to be, I think my frame is fine for the mentality and the character that I play.
Right.
Okay?
You're a svelte guy.
Right. That's the word. I like that. Oh, yeah, svelte. Oh, your diction is on point, sir. So, but yeah, so, you know, say you're wrestling with this guy, and this guy's like, wants to reverse an Irish whip. This guy is 6'3". Or 6'4", 290 pounds. That, to me, I'm done. I don't even want to hear the rest of it. Because why would I whip you? Why am I moving your body?
Yes.
First off, it takes away my own intelligence. Because I should be able to get you where I need to get you without having to do something like that. Maybe I'll chop block your knee. Maybe I'll gouge you in the eye and you walk over to a corner. There's different ways that are lost on people because you just see it on TV. It's like, you know how many times do you see that guy? The big guy gets whipped from the smaller guy because you weren't inventive enough to fill that time with something
right.
else. That's all. It's something little.
So you're like a purist when it comes to the story of wrestling.
Absolutely.
And I love it. I love it because I feel like when you're on shows that are local shows, it's so hard to explain why you feel the way you do about something, and then you're the asshole.
Hello, this is my life. You literally, I feel like I'm looking in a mirror right now. This is my life. And it's like, am I really, I'm just, and the craziest part of it all I'm doing is for everybody to succeed.
Right.
Fans notice this stuff. Fans are smarter now than they were then. You don't think the fan notices when the little guy whips the big guy into the corner?
Right.
You might lose some people in that instant. You don't even think about that because you're so busy thinking, how am I going to get this shooting star double knee to the back over? It's like, well, great, buddy, but there's, yeah, shooting star double
yeah,
knee.
Yeah, I'm thinking
Mike Bailey does it. It's okay. It's just a shooting star press, but he lands with his knees That's on it sweet. Instead of, yeah, it's fantastic. But again, you got to make sense. Yeah, but if I work his knee the whole match.
Yeah.
And then he hits, you know what I'm saying? It's, I don't know, man. But you absolutely hit the nail on the head, man.
That's why when people want to work my legs, I'm like, no, because that's my whole, I jump, mm-hmm. I do jumps. So like, if you want to work my leg, I'm not doing it right. because that's the only thing that I have, or right. that's the only thing I feel like, for me personally, like my moveset, whatever, is based off of jumping and stuff. So, people are like, oh, well, you could still do it. I'll just do this to your leg and this. No, I can't do those moves anymore.
Well, let's expand upon it, right?
Okay.
Say someone's working your leg, right?
Right.
Is there not a bigger reward in someone works your leg and you're struggling to get your move off, You keep getting cut down until, you turn it around and now you're able to. You know, there's more, when you get your move off and it takes you more effort to do it,
right.
It's easier for people to get invested. We already know what your moves are going to be, right? We already know what your signature maneuvers are. And especially if we're in a feud with one another, I won't attack your leg the first part of the match, right?
Right.
The first feud. But maybe, okay, I'm taking
second, third
match. I'm taking your maneuvers. I don't want to take that springboard drop kick. That's my mentality, right?
Right.
How do I neutralize it, attack your leg? So now you are going to adjust your game plan, which makes you look smarter.
But are we being too smart?
No.
Do you know what I mean?
No, we're not. Because people like this.
But people like me and you like this.
Oh, I think that it's presentation.
Okay.
If you present it well and that's why I say it should be a feud. If I'm just attacking your knee in the first match, right? People haven't got the chance to see your signature moves to really understand what I'm stopping you from executing.
Right.
But if we have your first match and, oh, you're hitting your stuff and say you win, right? Okay. Well, how do I beat you? Because you hit all of these fantastic moves. I was flustered. The next step is to stop you from using those maneuvers, which would then work your knee. So then you have to go outside the box and use something else.
Right.
People will pay attention to this. A good example is Anthony Stone and Dave Cole, because they had this series of Beyond Wrestling where they wrestled each other like 5-6 times. All they did was improvise on their previous matches, and that's what Japan does.
Right.
That's what, when you look at Japan, at Japanese wrestling, when you look at Tanahashi and you look at Okada, those wrestlers are using, they're improvising based off of what they've already built. Not improvising, but they're building
right.
off of what they've already established. So match one ends in this particular way. Match two, maybe you try that same thing, you reverse it. That is what gets the match quality.
Right.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and Ric Flair did that excellently in the later 80s, and that's why those matches are universally regarded as easy five-star.
Right. And you know what's weird is that I always use movies instead of wrestling as a way
to tell. I use both. That's funny.
What do you use?
I use both.
Yeah, the same thing. I'm a huge movie guy.
So am I.
For my entire life, I've always, my sister was like my babysitter and she was like, let's watch Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Right.
So I was always raised on movies and I feel like that's where I get my storytelling from, is the build to the climax and then we come back down and, you know, then whole big finish. I think that it comes from being a movie guy.
Absolutely.
And I think that's where and you said you're both wrestling and movies, but I think that's where people lose, you know, that mentality that gets people more interested. Like, yeah, are people going to pop if you do a 630 to the outside on Five Guys? Like, yes, absolutely.
Right.
Flip Kendrick is going to get a huge pop.
Right, everywhere
if he does.
Goes.
Right.
Right.
But if you stay grounded and a guy like Eddie Kingston, who doesn't do any of that shit,
right,
and he goes out there and he tells a story with his match and he gets people to hate him and then he gets beat up and then he comes back and he, fuck you, everybody hates him. I think that's what's more lasting
right
to me.
Right.
I mean, I guess yes, you're getting an emotion either way.
Right.
Those high spots are getting an emotion, and honestly, fuck the people that say high spots suck, because they're awesome and
they're necessary.
Right.
You need
people,
them. You can't just have a match with no, I understand it. You can't have a show with
right.
with no spots.
Right.
You can't, it's not gonna work.
Right. But I think that both are needed, both are necessary. And it's just there's a duality of like for you, you tell stories.
Right.
You don't go out there and you don't do crazy flips.
No.
And you probably can, because I mean, you're an athletic guy. You could probably do a backflip if you wanted
yeah,
to.
Yeah, if I wanted to.
Right, but you don't want to do it.
No, I have no interest. It's just,
did Ric Flair ever do a backflip?
Right, thank exactly. you. I'm sure he could have, but he did.
Right.
All right, come on.
But what I hate is the duality of it, where people say, what I do is right, what you do is wrong.
I agree.
If you get a response from them, if they like what they're seeing, if they're entertained, I'm all for it. And maybe that's my positive mentality breaking through, that if you get some sort of response and they're into you, then awesome. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm trying to find the word, inclusive than exclusive.
Okay. All right. So this is where it gets
I'd rather
interesting.
Have more than
this
less.
This is where it gets interesting, because my mindset is, yes, as long as you get the reaction, but the overall most important thing is the story of your particular match and how it relates to everything else, okay? So if you're going to do those, you're going to do your high spots, all right? How are you getting there? And what does it mean when it pays off? That's the thing. If I'm wrestling Flip Kendrick, I don't want to wrestle him the same way everyone else does.
Right.
Because everyone's seen that match. The last thing you want to do is, oh, that was a Flip Kendrick match. You don't want to do that.
Right.
Because we're going to pop, and by the end of the match, whoever wins doesn't matter because we enjoyed the match. Cool. If you want to be one of those wrestlers, that's fine. But that doesn't promote growth. My whole thing would say, again, like I was talking about with you, work over something to kind of, it looks like eliminate that moveset. What else does he have other than that? And that will get people more to you, right? It's not that you have to consistently wrestle that style, but if you get hurt, is your character, are you a one-off? Is that all you have?
In a feud, the second match, if you do affect that, then you do lose that match because you can't adapt in the moment.
And then the third match.
And then the third match is
you get what I'm
different
saying?
Things. Right.
Right, but the people are interested in that.
Right.
Versus, all right, your spot, here's your move, here's my move. All right, now let's counter each other moves a bunch of times.
But that's the problem with indies, though, is that sometimes it's just tough to do a program like that. You know,
correct.
Something with Beyond, where they have those diehard fans that say, I'm going to buy into a feud, you can do that kind of stuff. But if I'm wrestling at NWS, or if I'm wrestling at, I don't know, random Jersey Knights of Columbus Fed, you know, it's not going to get over that well. Because, you know, you're putting, you might be putting 50 YouTube videos out a day and you're getting 15 views and then you have 300 people at your show. There's probably five people that know what's going on and the other people are like, why the fuck are they doing that? Like, what? I don't get it. So sometimes you're just, I mean, sometimes it sucks that you're pigeonholed to doing generic indie stuff just because you're in a generic indie environment, you know, which, whatever. I mean, but for me, if you want to be creative, go out there and fucking be creative.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about me and what I want to get out of it anyway.
Right.
So
it's all without, it's all about reason though. Again, be creative within reason. How is it affecting you? I've never gone into a match just thinking about how something is going to just affect me. Contrary to what people may believe, it's how is, how are you, even when I faced Johnny Miyagi in my infamous Beyond Wrestling match, okay, for better or for worse.
Why is it infamous?
It's infamous because the match is known for me brutalizing the guy for, it was like a, about a 20 minute match. And I brutalized him for a good, a great portion of it. But by time, by the end of it, he had every single person behind him. That was my way of getting him, quote unquote, over.
Right.
Because if you look at the size difference between him and I, if you watch the match, you'll see the size difference. It just wasn't comparable. And it was kind of like, how do you make this person, and I'm an intelligent, you know, intelligent individual, he's more of just fight until you die, Spike Dudley kind of thing. So how are you going to build a match like that?
You got to beat the shit
out of him. You got to beat, yes, you have to beat him into the ground to the point where people, until that investment is there.
Which is kind of, I think, what you tried to do when I watched you at the fair last year.
Yes. With,
and he just wasn't fighting back.
He wasn't fighting back.
So it kind of didn't, like, people were like, he's just getting his ass kicked. Right. He's not doing anything.
So then when, by the time the end happens, they're like, oh, okay. They cheered because they wanted him to win, but he wasn't mustering up
a, it was a fight. 70% when it should have been 98%.
Right. And people can look at it and say, and I understand people, the untrained eye will look at it and say, man, he just really just took advantage of him.
Right.
And,
but even the trained eye sometimes would say something like that. You know what I mean? You're going to get guys that have been around for a while.
Yeah.
And
you're right.
That, I guess that warrants some sort of respect because you've been around. I mean, I guess extended career instead of quality career means you should get respect.
Right.
Those are the guys that people look to. Like, listen, I've been around for 15 years. Do I expect people to respect me because I've been around for 15 years? Absolutely not.
Right.
But do I expect people to respect me because I go out there and I give everything I have when I'm out there?
Right.
And I try to convince people this is the way you should be doing things. I feel like the reason why I should get any sort of respect is because I'm willing to do the same thing that I'm telling you to do.
Well, correct. I mean, I've never been one of those people to try and use my tenure as like, as a position of power. Because I've wrestled in the locker rooms where the guy will say, oh, I've been wrestling for 13 years, but the guy can't tell a wrist lock from an ankle lock.
I thought you were going wristwatch.
That was so, that'd be too predictable. That'd be way too predictable.
That's why you threw
it.
I am not a predictable man.
So, but that's what I'm saying is there's people, I never, if I hear you say 15 years, it doesn't do anything for me. If you say 20 years, for me, I'm one of those people where I'm like, I'm looking up your match.
Good.
I'm looking up your match. I'm like, all right, YouTube. Okay. Johnny Rockets with a Z at the end. Okay.
Is that a real guy?
No, probably. I just made him up, but if you YouTube him, Johnny Rockets wrestler.
Can I be Johnny Rockets?
You can be Johnny Rockets with no H. It's like J-O-N-N-I-E. It's got to be different.
Okay.
J-O-N-N-I-E Rockets, like R-O-C-K-E-T-Z.
Can it be like Rockets, like R-O-C-K-I-T-Z? Rockets?
Rockets. Hyphen in the middle?
Like I rock it.
Right. Like the, you can do that.
And
the finisher is the rocket launcher. I mean, come on. Let's be, you know what I mean? he comes out with the raccoon outfit.
Why are we so silly right now?
But it's being honest.
No, I know.
But this is the way the business is going.
I'm going to go somewhere where you might look at me like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I might lose all your respect right now. But, like a Johnny Rockets thing we're talking about. Teddy Hart said, exactly. Said something which was profoundly intelligent, but I don't think he meant it.
Which would
I was watching the video. I was watching the video that what's his name? It used to be Plasma. Oh, Trent Beretta. And they do a podcast where it's video and you can buy it. And then they have previews on YouTube. I think it's just like Hanging with Friends or something.
Yeah. Best friends.
Yeah, know. Best friends.
And is that with him and Chuck Taylor? There
yeah, okay.
You
go. So they had Teddy Hart on, and Teddy Hart says, listen, people need to understand that wrestling's fake. You can do whatever you want. Like, it's a made up world. I could pull some kid out of the crowd and say, oh, he's the champion now. And people are like, oh, he's the champion.
Right.
It doesn't matter who you make the champion. Like, people put too much into what champions and whatever. Like, if I go out and I entertain you, that's what it should be about instead of I'm the champion.
Right.
Like, he said, wrestling's a made up world.
Right.
So you can make a guy like Johnny Rockets or whatever, and he'll be the most popular guy in the entire world if I push him to be the
You're
most
right.
popular guy.
You need you need a position for guys like that.
Right.
You need every. That's why I say variety is the spice of life, and that's what the Crusade for Change is to be on, because there's nothing else.
I've heard that before, so you have to change it.
You're right. Variety
is the herb of life.
Yeah, variety is the key to the unlocked door, right? Whatever you want to.
We're making new cliches.
Right,
we're going to be we should be a tag team, the cliche makers.
We should. This is probably the most I've laughed on any type
Ow,
of, on any
damn
type
it.
Of, yep, that's good.
I Dropping knocked the mic over and I'm hitting my knee.
The water bottle remained, so.
And it's empty.
Interesting. Yeah,
you have a water bottle there, by the way. I put one there for you.
Oh, how genuine!
But you have Starbucks.
How genuinely sweet. But
you have a.
This is a caramel macchiato.
Venti
caramel macchiato.
Oh, yeah.
I was
trying to read it.
I was going for the s'mores, but they were sold out because you know.
I've been eating Quest bars.
What does that even mean?
It's a
was that a Mike Quest bar? No, that's terrible.
Is it bad that every time I buy them, that's exactly what I think? It's a Mike Quest bar
with a Y.
Yeah, with a. When he first told me, I said, "Oh, I'm Matt with three T's."
Listen, that man.
Was that a bad joke?
That was no. I just I was so
you were into something
focused.
Else.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad one. It was not bad. I was just
like, so anyway.
I'm a little dry. My humor. Pardon me.
I want to get away from wrestling for 5 seconds, probably longer.
Go ahead.
What were you like in high school?
Oh boy.
I want to know.
I was a late bloomer in terms of getting into trouble and stuff like that. I was never one of those like party kind of like not when I was that age. I was very, very education oriented. I have like, and I don't mean to brag, but I have like, I was always on the honor roll.
Well, you could tell that you're an education guy. I mean,
you're
very well spoken.
Thank you.
You're as you even said the word diction before, your diction is very well.
Thank you.
You could tell that you're that, well, cause me, well, maybe I'm full of shit cause I was kind of a shitty student.
No.
And I feel like I speak very well and.
Yeah, no, it pays off. I mean, there's different ways to get an education or to be informed. There's
right.
information all over. You know, you could spend a day on Google and find out everything you want to find. Information is all over. But I was always a big education advocate because to me, it tells you what you do and you don't like. And you can take bits and pieces from everything and apply it. You can use education to fuel your wrestling career if you really want to.
Yeah.
In terms of your mentality, in terms of your outlook. Right.
Well, I mean, I kind of feel like your mentality is kind of a teacher's mentality anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, your whole crusade for a change is trying to tell everyone, hey, you got it wrong. This is the way it should be.
Right.
And that's sort of a teacher's mentality.
Right. And it's also don't forget about these things. You know, Beyond wasn't just, you know, made yesterday. Just because it's getting popular now doesn't mean.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Beyond has so much history and lineage that I feel has been dusted to the side. I want to bring that back because that's what made Beyond great to begin with. You know what I mean? Beyond wrestling.
Like, don't forget what made us this.
Right. Don't you have a house now? Now that you have a luxury house, that doesn't mean you get to ignore the foundation because that foundation was all you had at one point. All you had was the floor to the mansion at one point. Now that you've built it, now that you have chandeliers and you have jacuzzis and you have all these nice things, you want to forget about the tiling on your floor? It's not right. And that's what it's about. It's not just about me. It's not just about us. And I know I'm bringing it back to wrestling, but really it's about life.
Right.
All right. It's just like you're at your job, right? Just like if you're working really hard and then they bring, you know, the business builds and builds and you change the name and it gets bought out by another company. You buy another company. You were there when it started. That's why you get increased raises, things like that. When you don't, that's when you feel there needs to be time for a change.
Right.
That's what it's all about. When you feel like you're part of the ground and you feel like you're kind of getting stepped on so that this house can continue getting built. But you're like, hey, that chandelier wouldn't be there if I didn't contribute. You know, that fantastic looking microwave or staircase or all these nice things.
There's a big difference between a staircase and a microwave.
Well, there's
in cost.
Well, you're right, but there's some very nice. I'm picturing there's some very nice spiral staircases. All right.
That's one of my goals in life is to have a house with a spiral staircase.
With a chandelier in the middle. Like an American Horror Story.
I didn't think about it, but now yeah. I never watched it. I'm not a horror guy.
I'm a twisted individual. I watch a lot of twisted things.
I don't, the exhilaration of things don't make me happy.
Okay. So, understandable.
So,
okay, I got you.
I'm a big sports fan. Mm-hmm. I hate close games. Hmm. Like, you know how people are like, oh, this game is awesome. Like, no, I'm hiding in the corner waiting for it to be over. And then when I see the score, then I'll come back out.
Right.
But I hate. That's interesting. I hate exhilaration.
Okay.
No,
does it create anxiety? Is that why?
It does, but it's, I wouldn't call it anxiety as much as just discomfort. Like, I just don't want to be in that situation. Like, I'm not going to hyperventilate, but right. I'm like, I'd rather.
So you'd rather see a squash match than like
yes.
a sports
No,
match.
No. See, that's different because I know it's fake.
Ah,
so I'll go you. On the ride if I know, but like just horror movies, not a fan because being
I don't like horror either.
Being
like.
Scared to me is not fun.
Right. I don't like raw horror. I don't like
gory?
Cut off. Yeah, that does nothing for me.
Gore for no reason.
Right. Reasonless gore does nothing for
like
me. However,
the beginning of Scream when he cuts over the and the guts are all on the
disinterested.
Floor.
Yeah. Disinterested. Because I know guts are inside of a human body. I don't need to see them pouring out. That's nothing. That's not for me. But what I do like are the like the first Saw. Okay.
Yes.
Things that are psychological. I like the American Horror Story where there's so much characterization. And if you miss a beat, say you go and get up to microwave something, you come back, you've missed a part of the story.
Right.
That's the type of, you know, things like the new show, the Mr. Robot show that came out.
With Sammy Malek, is that his name?
Yeah. Sammy Malek
Rami Malek.
And, who's in that? Christian Slater.
Oh, yeah. So, I watched the pilot. So okay. Don't. No, but I know it's psychological, which is awesome.
These are things I watch. I watch things like that. I watch pretty much.
Do you watch
much,
The Wire?
I do not. I watch pretty much everything that's.
Fringe?
No.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I watch everything to Showtime. Everything, if Showtime puts it out.
Yeah, Showtime's
so
great.
I'm big on Penny Dreadful. I think it's very, very dark. It's very eerie, but it's such an intelligent show.
Okay.
I watch shows like that. And those are things that kind of help influence.
Did you watch Lost?
I did not watch Lost.
God damn it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Darius D.C. Carter.
Yeah.
Three things. I would say The Wire first, just because I think it's unbelievable.
Okay.
I think the way it's real, and I don't want to spoil it for you, but it's real life. And
okay.
It's not like everyone, yay, at the end.
Right.
This is what happens in real life. When you're a cop, and you do an investigation, it doesn't end with just catching the guy.
Right.
Like
it spirals into something else.
Right. So that's the kind of show The Wire is everything's connected. Everyone knows everyone. Everyone kind of does like the cops and the newspaper and the schools and all that stuff. It shows all that stuff. And then it also shows you there's not really big storybook endings for everything.
Right.
It's kind of like sometimes the guy that you really wish makes it
doesn't
just gets fucking shot in the corner because that's what happens,
right?
Like there's not some war how it ends up. It's like you fall in love with a character. It's and Game of Thrones is very similar. I don't know if you watch Game of Thrones.
It
might be too popular.
No.
For you,
it's a little
feel
bit.
Like you're...
It's a little bit popular. But here's the thing. I don't DVR things. I watch everything live because I don't watch an overabundance of television as it is. Like I watch my set shows,
right?
And I kind of move one show out and move one in. So when Californication ended, I moved in something else.
Gotcha.
I keep a revolving door of maybe five or six shows at a time because I don't really commit time to watch.
Do you have friends that you talk to it about?
A few. I don't keep that many people close to me.
Because I can't. Why?
I don't like people that much. I really don't. I just don't. I don't trust them.
You're turning into one of my favorite people of all time right now. Just letting you know.
I don't like people. I don't think there's much. Look, I couldn't live on this earth by myself, right?
Your words are my thoughts.
Right. There
just
can
letting
be
you know.
There can be plenty of listen. There needs to be humanity. I understand it, but I have that mindset of evolution and succession, right? The greatest are meant to rise and the weakest are meant to die off. It's a genuine mentality. It's not me talking out of my.
But you don't believe in trying to help people up to your level?
Absolutely, but there's so many devices out there beyond just me to assist people to get to that next level.
Right.
Are you really trying? Do you believe that there's a problem?
But you can help people get to that aha moment.
If you can try.
Aha!
Yeah, you can try, but you know what?
But that's why, and I don't know if you know this, but that's why I coach high school football.
Okay.
And I coach middle school wrestling.
Okay.
And that's why I do those things, because we have the same ideals as to, like, there's a lot of fucking stupid people on this planet.
Right.
And sometimes you're not going to help everyone, but I'm trying to help everyone I possibly can get to my level.
I wouldn't say that I'm not.
I'm trying to open up doors.
Right.
Is what I want to
do. And you're doing the right thing, right? Right. I wouldn't say that I'm not trying to. It's that.
Well, obviously you're trying. You have a crusade.
That's
for change.
What I'm saying. Well, listen, how much more? I don't want to hold your hand.
But you're thinking
it.
Globally.
Okay. Right.
When you could be more local.
Correct. That's fair.
You can go one at a time knocking on doors saying, listen, sir.
That's
you
fair.
You should feel this way, and maybe this would help change your life.
This is fair.
Instead
is
of
fair.
Just like, hey, everyone, this is how I feel.
Right.
Because you don't know who that's getting to.
You're right.
You
that's
I mean?
Fair. That's a absolutely fair argument. Maybe I need got to you. Right. Maybe I, yeah, you got me. Maybe
got
I, maybe I need to, yes, shoot a dagger through the heart.
Hi-ya.
Maybe I need to, do I have a heart? No. but you need to, you know what? You're right. But I'm hoping that word of mouth, cause I feel like that's how you're going to learn about me. It's just word of mouth. I feel like I'm
hit a the unique, pavement.
There you go. I feel like I'm a unique individual. Okay? I feel like you're not going to meet a lot of people like me. I don't think you're going to... I don't know if you'll meet...
I agree, which is why I've met you once, and I wanted you on this podcast.
And I
because
that.
You can see that in you, is right. That you're not everyone else.
And that's the point. So it's kind of like, I feel like there's more reward if you like, oh, you know what? That guy's interesting. Let me reach out to him. Let me try... Because I want people to know who I am. I reach out to people, but in terms of reaching out to every individual, that's... I don't know if I'm maybe nice enough. I don't know if... Because I have myself that I have to worry about. I'm in a consistent battle myself. I'm not sitting back relaxing, you know.
I'm saying I wish people would change.
I wish people would change while I sit back and recline. It's a constant daily thing to do what I've been doing. This crusade is a daily crusade. It's not, oh, well, here's a promo and let's sit back, wait for the views.
Right, well, I'm definitely a big proponent of you got to start with yourself before you start with anyone else, which is why... Like, I'm reading books on positivity, I'm reading all this other stuff, and I'm trying to work on me and get to where I want to be to try to help other people get to where they should be.
Right.
You know what I mean? I feel like that's a huge thing in my life, is that, not that I feel like I have the key in my head for life and for happiness, because I don't, because I'm not always happy.
But you may have something that they don't.
Right. And I feel like maybe something I say can open up a window for them,
right,
or make them feel better about themselves. Like, I'm also a manager at work, my outside life besides wrestling, and I'm so about trying to make it a fun experience for them, trying to make it a positive experience for them. And listen, I had a conversation with the owners the other day, and I said people should understand that it's a privilege to be in the position that they're in, because where I work, it's you make enough money that you should feel honored to be where you are.
Right. Right.
You should make it a fun experience. We should make it so people are enjoying themselves while they're here. But if you don't do your job, you're out.
Correct.
So I'm for fun. I'm for positivity. But you got to do what you have to do to enjoy that fun and to, like, earn that positivity.
Correct.
It's not just all fun and games. You got to work. You got to get your ass in shape. And then you get what you're supposed to get.
Right.
It's not just... Hey, it's a fun experience, and you're my boss, and you're telling me that I shouldn't be doing this, so now I'm mad, I don't want to be here.
Right.
Like, no, those aren't the people we want.
Right.
But we also want people to understand that this is supposed to be a fun experience, because life is supposed to be a fun experience.
Right.
For me, why the fuck am I doing this every single day, working my ass off, if I'm not having fun doing it?
Right.
Like, what's the point of living?
Right.
If I'm not living to enjoy it.
We all had that point. You have that point. Listen, I'm not going to lie to you, and this is the first time I've really discussed it, but I'll say it here. There was a time, yeah, right? There was a time where Beyond, I was about done with them.
Yeah.
I had it. I had my one time, and maybe only me and Drew maybe really know about it. I don't tell people things, because I feel like you tell one person something, they tell everybody, and then it becomes a gossip table.
And then, but it changes also.
And
it's
it
not,
changes.
It's not just... You tell them the story and it gets out the way it happened.
Right. Well, the best thing about the wrestling business, as you know, is that people can have a absolute book on you without even meeting you.
Right.
And they'll completely, they don't even read the pages, but they'll skim through like two or three pages of a 300-page book.
Right.
Like, oh, I know Darius Carter.
Well, but that's easy.
Right. That's easy.
The easy way to do it.
You know,
it's the same thing with anything.
People think they know me. You know how many people think they really know me?
I'm going to put myself out there. I'm a fan of NSYNC. I enjoy their music. But it's easy. oh, they're just a boy band. They're a bunch of gay, like, blah, blah. You know, like, that's the easy thing to do.
But then you go home and you put them on your radio.
But not even that, though. Like, you dismiss it without even understanding it.
Yeah.
And that's, and maybe I'm using a bad example or a perfect example that people dismiss things before they even get to know them. Like, a guy like you, right? You're different. You're not doing everything everyone else is doing.
Right.
So people say, ah, he's some arrogant asshole with an ego, because you're not doing what everyone else is doing,
right,
without looking at what you do and seeing the brilliance behind it.
Well, that's what it is. It's literally that. I think literally people just, I think they're just taking it at their word of mouth, taking their ideas, and they're just like, you know what? Don't need it. And it's like, you don't even know what you don't need.
Right.
You don't even know what you're passing up. That's the sick part. And I get it. You're a promoter. You can't look at everybody, but you're missing out on opportunity. I could be that one puzzle piece that you've been looking for. And you have been walking right by it in a continuous circle because you're listening to everybody else. That's my position. That's why you go out there and you do the best you can.
It's awesome to listen to you talk about stuff like that, too, because I think that's what I'm missing, though, is I'm missing my own value. Like, I wrestle because I enjoy it, not because I feel like I deserve to be on a certain show. Right. You know, if someone tells me I suck, I'm like, all right, maybe I suck. But then I go out and I just do what I want to do anyway.
Right.
For you, you feel like that you have this ability and you have this presence about you that you can add to this and you can add to that. I mean, maybe it's just my belief in myself is not where it should be when it comes to a performance level, that I don't say I'm the missing piece because I do think I can add to a show. And when I have a really good match, I know I had a really good match.
Right.
And when I'm the best guy on roster, I know I'm the best guy on roster. But there's always that doubt in my head that, you know, like a bigger show like JAP, and I feel like I missed out on being as good as I possibly could have been because I didn't believe it.
Yeah, but you have to use that to grow and
right.
Be like, listen, I was there in that four-way match and maybe I didn't belong then. And you have to come to terms with that, right?
Right.
Okay, maybe I didn't belong then, but what would make me belong now? What am I doing differently now that would make me belong in that position? And that's why I've not really been afraid. And maybe it's because Nunzio from, you know, ECW, maybe because he kind of helped train me at BWO. So I had that early exposure to a star or what have you. I don't really get starstruck when it comes to wrestling somebody.
Right.
It's like, mentality, you know, you can meet somebody and kind of get a little, but when you're wrestling them, it's like, all right, we're having a match.
You have to.
I don't care who I'm wrestling.
Right.
If I'm wrestling, I don't care if it's, you know, a Gargano. I don't care if it's a Ricochet. I don't care if it's Zack Sabre Jr. Yeah, I don't care who it is. If I hear I have a match with you, it's conviction time. I don't have time to be, there's no starstruck. There's no hesitation.
Right.
We have a match that we have to do. This match was booked because I'm the way I am and you're the way you are. And we need to put the best story together.
Right.
I'm my own harshest, biggest critic. And a lot of people say that, but I criticize myself based off of the way I'll put my foot on a rope. Like, I'm very, very, very critical of myself. And that's why I think I've been able to grow. You know what I mean? I don't think it's hard to listen to other people because other people aren't always giving you genuine criticisms. They're not really looking at your match. They'll just see one little thing and they'll give you an idea, but they're not really telling you how to improve yourself,
right?
I'm my own biggest critic in that respect. And that's why I'm saying I feel like I've been a consistent part of quality wrestling in my area, in Beyond Wrestling, what have you. So people know about me. The problem originally was that people didn't know about me. I think people know about me now, but they don't know what to do with me. And I think it's a very unfortunate situation because I don't think I've met a lot of these people. I don't think these people really know me, and I think they have a conception of me or a belief of me because of what I stand for. And they're just like, I'd rather not bother. And it's like, but here's the thing. It puts me in a position of, well, do you compromise, right? Do you shed some of what makes you?
Do you dumb yourself down?
Precisely.
Yeah.
Do you dumb yourself down to fit in? Because I guarantee you, if I dumb myself down, I'd be wrestling a lot more places.
Yeah.
But would I still be Darius Carter if I did that? No. Because my whole thing is conviction. When you hear the reviews about me, oh yeah. When you hear the reviews about me, all you hear about is commitment. Well, thank you. I'm getting them too now. You hear commitment. You hear conviction. I can't believe Darius Carter. I was reading one review where I was wrestling DJ Hyde for freewrestling.com or what have you. And the guy was like, I can't believe, how's this guy not booked for CZW? And he listed reasons why I should be there.
Bullet points?
bullet points. Nice. I mean, it was like literally, it was matched with DJ Hyde.
Okay.
And I was like,
who is the guy who's who in, is yeah.
this? Right. DJ knows who I am.
Well, he managed me in JAP, right. So he knows.
They know who I am. That's, you know, it's not about getting your name out there right. because that's
your name's out there.
My name is out there. It's just my name it's got a couple. Yeah, the name has got a couple of smears on it. It's got a little bit of this and that. And the thing is what do you do to change that? Because this conviction is what has brought me here.
But you can't change your name.
Well, no.
You can't change your, well, not, I'm not saying literally change your name. I'm not saying you should be like Darius Boogerface the third. What? That's going to be your name now.
Yeah, that's great.
What? But what I'm saying is, like, your name is your name, and in the wrestling business, sometimes that's all you got.
Right.
So people aren't looking at who you are. They're looking at who they think you are when they hear your name. You know what I mean? Like, your name is who you are.
Right.
So when people hear my name, it's who I am to them.
Right.
So DJ Hyde had a great match with you, or I don't know. Well, I don't even know if you said it was a great match or not.
I mean, he said he liked it.
Right.
He
so,
said he was that's
well,
what he
but,
told
well,
me.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, I'm not sure, but you can't change. And this has been my perspective for, like, the last couple of years and how my mind, just life-wise, not wrestling-wise, is that you got to have the ability to control the things you can and let everything slide off your back. Because, listen, does it suck that you're not getting the platform that you deserve or that you feel you deserve to do what you want to do? But when you go home at night and you're doing the things that Darius Carter should be doing in your own mind, I think that's more reward than being on a show and doing something that you don't want to do anyway.
Well, that's exactly it. If I have said this, because I have a good job, I have a very good job. If I
know.
Didn't... Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But if I wanted to leave wrestling tomorrow, I would be financially, right. You know what I mean? I would be perfectly fine. Anyone who says I'm not committed to it or any, and I don't know, I don't think anyone says that, but anyone thinks I'm not committed or it's absolutely incorrect. I am in the business because I want to be in the business, but I know what my place is. I know what I can contribute to places. I know what I can give you. I know what I'm strong at, and I know what I'm not the best at. Are you going to want to put me in a 6-man, over the top rope spot fest?
Honestly?
Yes. Yes. Because I'll, you know, you want to know why. All right. But you get what I'm saying?
You were looking for a no, and I wasn't going to give it.
I was looking for a no. It was going to be an explained no.
Okay.
But yes.
But I want to see that now.
Yeah.
I want to see every flipper in the entire.
But isn't that the point, though?
Yes.
They want to see
because
it.
They know what you're going to do.
Yeah, they want to see it. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I love wrestling sometimes.
It's fantastic.
Did you hear the last word in that?
I sometimes. Sometimes, yes. Sometimes. Yes. Oh, wrestling. That's the thing about wrestling. Wrestling, oh my goodness. There's nothing. When wrestling is done right, there is nothing on this earth that is better. There is no better feel-good moment than when you just have the right thing happen at the right time. When the right thing is booked with the right people, you'll feel it.
Yeah.
When it happens, that bell rings and you hear that 3 count or you hear that tap out and the place erupts. Who else is doing that?
Can I tell you the last time that I felt that way? At the JAP show that I was on, the big one show per 5 months, that the last one they did, it was Lowkey and Dickinson.
Mm.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I heard about that, yeah.
Just the electricity in the crowd for that. Because I don't know if they knew that there was stuff between them personally
right.
or what, but or maybe it was just me because I knew there was stuff between them personally.
Right.
But watching that match, oh my God. It was just, I don't even think they did any moves.
Right.
Just the tension, the story of it, the way it felt, the way the crowd was watching it and like, holy shitting. Like everyone was kind of in a weird place of what the fuck is gonna happen here,
right? You but that sells.
Yes,
that sells.
Yeah, I know, but that just I haven't been like a 15-year-old like whoo
right.
exciting, like I haven't been that guy watching wrestling in a really long time,
right.
And something about that match, and listen, I've been a Dickinson, not, I wouldn't say, what's the opposite of a supporter? I've been a naysayer of Dickinson for a while.
Right.
And I don't think he knows that, but and if he listens to this, I guess he knows that for a while. But I'm serious. It was on that level that we talked about before, where just dismissing him for dismissing him,
right.
instead of looking at what he does, seeing it for what it is, and being like, wow, man, he's got it, because he does.
Right.
And I put it down because it was the easiest thing to do. Mm-hmm. And when people asked me about it, I was like, nah, I don't get it.
Right.
But I get it.
Right. Well, there were similarities between. I think there was a period, you know, especially in Gospel at the Boards when I wrestled him at Beyond, which was a breakthrough match for me, I feel. He was, there's something about him. We're two different people. We're two different animal beasts, whatever. But I think he had a similar reputation of, you know, who is this guy? And I don't want to deal with that guy. I hear about all the madness about Chris Dickinson. I don't want to deal with that. And it's kind of like, and although we're two different perspectives and I don't agree with him on everything, I think that there was definitely that similar type of, how do you look at this guy? How do you deal with this guy? And I think that stopped him from getting, a certain distance as well. But again, we're two different animals. But the point I wanted to make, and it's going on that low-key match, is that's what I feel is missing a lot of it from wrestling, that what's going to happen element. Everything is so, I feel like so many things are just so streamlined that when you hear these two tag teams, when you hear like a Young Bucks versus this guy, you know what's going to happen. Right. You want to be there to see it.
Like, it's still exciting.
It's still exciting. I'm not saying it's not exciting.
Right.
It's fun. It's exhilarating. But ultimately, you know what's going to happen.
Right, but it's not the guy waking up in the middle of the floor after the two guys have been talking over him for 2 hours and has a gun in his hand. And like, it's not the ending of Saw 1.
Right.
It's not that.
It's not, and that's the difference.
It's a horror movie. Right. We know it's a horror movie, but that's fucking crazy.
And that's exactly what I'm trying to get to. The whole thing with the Crusade is we're not predictable. We tell you, that's the best part.
So why don't you come out and slap somebody's hand one day?
Oh, that's
it. You just be like, ah, you know what?
I don't know where those hands come from, man. People don't wash their hands.
Well, that's unpredictable. Nobody expects Darius Carter to come out and shake somebody's hand.
They would be confused.
Kiss a baby.
Ugh.
Come to the ring, kiss a baby.
Ugh. I don't know where them kids are coming from, man. You gotta be careful. I don't know who's giving birth these days. Don't wash your hands.
Oh, we know who's
giving
birth nowadays.
Oh, that's true. That's true. They get younger and younger, but I digress. That's what's missing, is that unpredictability, that uncertainty. And that's the thing, is we tell you, the Crusade tells you over and over, right? We tell you what we're about, but people still don't know.
Right.
It's still that eeriness to it. It's kind of like Jake Roberts back in the day, or maybe you want to say a Bray Wyatt now, where they're telling you precisely what's going to happen, but you still aren't really sure because of that air of mystique, right? That air of uncertainty. That's the excitement of the Crusade for Change. The excitement is in the uncertainty. You have no idea who or what is going to happen or why we're going to do what we do, but you'll know why when we tell you.
Right. Which is awesome. And I'm going to tell you, there's no better time than right now to end this, because that's exactly...
Yeah,
that's the stamp.
That's the gavel, yeah.
That's stamp.
Judge.
So here, this is what we do, or what I do at the end of every podcast I have is... And I usually get like two of them. If people have listened the entire way through, I want to give them some sort of phrase or hashtag for them to tweet at me so I know that they made it through the entire thing.
Okay.
So, and I usually ask the guest to do that. So
okay.
If there's any, well, I mean, there's one obvious one that you can give them. but if there's anything other than that, this is your time to promote whatever you want to promote and to hashtag whatever you want to hashtag.
Okay. Well, firstly, I'm going to say keep an eye on my Twitter and Facebook accounts. Those are the two main things I have there. / Mr. Darius Carter at both. I'm frequently on them. Right now, Warriors of Wrestling, Beyond Wrestling are two places that are really giving me that opportunity. More, I don't want to say more so Warriors of Wrestling, but that's, you know, hashtag opportunity. No, that's terrible.
Hashtag bigger opportunity.
Right, right. Hashtag right. Listen, I'll give you a bunch of hashtags. I'll give you the hashtag Crusade for Change. Keep an eye out for that one. But that one's already been done. I would say I really like the hashtag of follow your future. That's what I've been doing, because you don't really know. People have this idea of what they think is going to happen, what they think the future is going to be. I like to believe that I'm utilizing the past to create a better future. So if you really are listening to this and you really believe that I'm spoken some type of logic, or I've spoken some type of intelligent ramble, you know, do that hashtag follow your future. Take a look at what I have to offer. Take a look at the people that I'm surrounding myself with, and really understand the promos. You know, go, maybe if you listen to a promo, you didn't understand every part of it. You know, they're only about 2 minutes long. It's not bad. Go back, listen to it, because I'm really convicted in what I say. I truly believe in what I'm saying, and I feel like I can help genuinely change the game. I feel like I can really bring my own bit of spice, all right, to this kettle of medium flavored sauce, if that makes sense. Hashtag follow your future. Hashtag the face of change. Because that's what I feel like I am. I feel like everyone's talking about revolutions. Everyone wants to stand up. Everybody wants this, the Diva Revolution. There's crusades everywhere. Cities are burning as we speak. But I feel like I am the original face of change. Down to the core, down to the wire, I feel like change starts and ends with Darius Carter. So, hashtag follow your future, hashtag the face of change. I know neither of those are the ones that you were thinking about, but, you know, they're different. So,
I was thinking, what was the spice of the herb of, variety is the key to the,
I said to the unlock word door, but that wouldn't make sense. Yeah.
Variety is the key to the Volkswagen.
It's the key to the Volkswagen.
That's the newest cliche.
Why Volkswagen?
Because variety, Volkswagen,
V's. Would you associate me with a Volkswagen?
I don't, but the V, variety, the V. Volkswagen,
V for Vendetta now? Is that, are we going to get into that now? Is that what we're going to?
No, we are not.
A Hugo Weaving promo?
Just as always, every week, you can follow me on Twitter at ArcadiaNJ. That's ArcadiaNJ. And just remember, Darius Carter is going to repeat his hashtags one more time and tweet those at me or at him, and we'll know that you listened to the entire podcast.
Hashtag follow your future. FOLLOWYOURFUTURE. And hashtag the face of change. THEFACEOFCHANGE. Thank you.
It's been a blast.
Yes.
We'll see you next time.
This has been a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network. For information on this, as well as our other great podcasts, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network, email us at WDPodcastNetwork@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter at White Dragon PN.